It was 9 in the morning on May 25, 2019. I was in a car with my two daughters and Bridget, my future daughter-in-law, heading to a lifelong friend's house for a wedding celebration in Michigan. We're a family of 7, 3 boys and 2 girls, and everyone was there except for Sam. Sam had gone to Syria. Not Syria, Indiana, or Syria, Virginia. Syria, the country in the Middle East. Although this was the nation that had endured a civil war for 7 years by the time Sam went there, I found comfort when he explained to me that he was traveling with a guide to the safest area of the country, an area controlled by U.S.-backed Kurds and 300 miles from any ongoing conflict. Traveling the world had become a means for Sam to satisfy his curiosity about people. Even as a young boy, Sam was inquisitive about how people lived in other parts of the world. But Sam had really taken to it since he'd moved to the Far East. Singapore is an international travel hub, so he'd started touring the region. Thailand, Vietnam, Malaysia, Japan, China. After several years, he realized he'd been over to 100 countries. And that was when he began wondering, how many countries are there in the world? And was it possible to visit them all? The experience of travel had proven over the years to be very meaningful for Sam, but also fascinating for us too. As a family, we've always been extremely close, so Sam would go out of his way to include us in his adventures. He made sure to call from wherever he went. Often he would hold up his phone on FaceTime so we could see the place he was visiting. Over the years, we'd gotten used to calls from strange and exotic places, and Sam's reports were usually extremely encouraging. No matter where he was, be it Germany, Pakistan, Chile, or Azerbaijan, people were notably friendly and welcoming. As parents, we were somewhat uneasy about Sam going to Iran. But he met a lovely young couple with a baby on Kish Island who took him home for dinner and made him feel very welcome. By that Memorial Day weekend in 2019, he had traveled to 180 countries. Sam was a resourceful and seasoned traveler who took every precaution he could, and he was nearing the end of his journey. Still, this was Syria. I didn't know much about the Middle East, but I knew there was generally some level of civil unrest in the country. When my phone buzzed again and Sam's name flashed up on the screen, all seemed to be well. I was sitting in the passenger seat of the car. As my son's face appeared on the screen, I held up the phone so that the girls in the back could see and talk to him too. Sam was in a small town called Kamishli, which was very close to the Turkish and Iraqi borders and which was under Kurdish control. He was on his way, he said, to meet a local guide who would show him safely around the town and surrounding area. We chatted for a few minutes, and Sam told us how happy he was to finally be there. "Hey, pan over the landscape for me," I said, as I always did when Sam was in a new place, so that we could see what he was seeing. We looked at the scene, saying that it appeared to be quite a nice place. Then we heard a muffled shout from somewhere off camera. "I'm talking to my mom," Sam told someone we couldn't see. The image spun and blurred, and the line went dead. That moment still haunts me even all these years later, but it was always there, gnawing at me, no matter how much I tried to suppress it. In any case, there seemed to be nothing to do but wait for Sam to call back, which I tried to convince myself he would do as soon as he found a better connection.